We serve a big God. This is the God who spoke the universe into existence just by the words of his mouth. That's power. I mean, when you think about the vastness of the universe, and our God spoke it all into being just by the words of his mouth. You know, our sun is 93 million miles away, and we feel its heat, especially on a hot summer Texas day. But imagine this, or think about this, consider this, that our sun is just an average size star. It's not even one of the big ones, but there's billions times billions times billions of them throughout the universe. And yet our God can hold it all in the palm of his hand. That's how big our God is. And I'm telling you, if we really understand, if we just get a little bit of a glimpse in our mind's eye of the bigness of our God, it would strengthen our faith. It would cause us to be able to believe. It would cause us to be able to look in the face of trouble and problems and know that our God is so much bigger. He holds it all just in the palm of his hand. We're going to look tonight at a wonderful story in the book of Daniel in chapter 3. And tonight we're just going to keep coming back to that passage in Daniel chapter 3. But King Nebuchadnezzar has made this decree that everyone has to bow down to the golden image that he has had made. And three young Hebrews refused to do that. And the king tells them that they're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. It makes him really mad. And he says, you're going to be thrown into this fiery furnace. And here's their reply beginning in Daniel 3, 17 and 18. They said, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. I want you to know that these three Hebrews believed in a big God. They were certain that their God was big enough to deliver them from the fiery furnace. And in verse 17, they said it very plainly. They said, he will deliver us from your hand. An almighty, all-powerful God. There's not anything he can't do. Like the old song, it says, bigger than any mountain, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see, bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Too many Christians today spend too much time talking about all of the bad going on in the world. They're talking about all the problems and how it's just going from bad to worse and blah, 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 blah. Isn't that edifying? No, it just tears down your faith. We need to get our eyes off of all that stuff and get our eyes on a mighty God. Our song is not gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, agony on me. I'm a Christian. Don't you want to be one too? No, we're serving a mighty God. These three young men about to be thrown into a fiery furnace, and yet they are bold in their faith. They say, our God is able to deliver us. Well, we need to be saying that. Our God is able to deliver us. I'll tell you, the challenges that we face in our world, and I'm talking about right here in America, are nothing compared to some of the challenges that the men and women of faith faced in the scripture. And God was big enough for them. He's big enough for us. When they tell you you're going to go in the fiery furnace, when they tell you you're going to get audited, when they tell you you're getting a pink slip, but you know that you serve a big God, Amen. You don't have to worry. Amen. Right. You don't have to worry. Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. The God who spoke it into all into existence, the God who guided the shepherd's stone, the God who parted the sea, the God who heals the sick and raises the dead, the God who chooses the foolish things and the weak things of the world to confound the wise and the strong. Carmen and I will have been married 39 years this Saturday, and our verse has always been Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's what our God can do. See, if you can imagine it, that's not enough. You just, he can do it, not a little bit more. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. See, this is how people end up with a false image and misconception about God, is they start trying to, they think they can imagine who God is. You can't imagine a God big enough. That's how big he is. Bigger than you can imagine. He can do way far above what you could even possibly dream up. That's how big he is. And we serve such a big God. He can do anything. So, we should have big vision. These three Hebrews, they had a vision of themselves coming out in victory. Whether it was not going into the fiery furnace or going through the fiery furnace, but somehow they believed that God would deliver them from that fiery furnace. They didn't see themselves in that fire writhing and screaming out in pain. They saw themselves coming out in victory. Somehow they believed that because their God was able, that that was going to be their story. And we need to see ourselves through the light of the Word of God. You know, in James chapter 1, it talks about the Word being like a mirror. And we look into that mirror of the Word of God and we see who we are in Christ. We see all that God says about us as a child of God. We can see ourselves healed. We can see ourselves blessed. We can see ourselves righteous. We can see ourselves being used of God. We can see ourselves as an overcomer, as more than a conqueror through him who loved us. That's the way we see ourselves. See, we need to have that kind of vision because we serve a big God. So we don't limit God. We don't limit what God can do in our life. Did you know he's bigger than you? He's bigger than your weakness. He's bigger than your failings and your faults. Well, that's a whole lot of what grace is about. He saved us by grace in spite of ourselves. We just believe. We need to believe in this big God, and we need to have vision in our life. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And the New King James, it words it this way, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And it's really the same thing. It sounds real different, but it's really the same thing, because you see, when you don't have vision or revelation, it says the people perish. But it means the people just live haphazardly. They live an aimless life. And you know what? We serve a big God. We need to have a big vision. And we don't live an aimless life. No, we're believing God for great things. We're expecting God to do great things in and through our lives. Every one of us matters to God. He has a plan for every one of us. Now, Jeremiah 1:5, the Lord certainly had a plan for Jeremiah. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, I ordained you to be the prophet, a prophet to the nations. Now, you need to know this, that God knew you before you were even born. In the foreknowledge of God, he knew you. This is not just about a special guy. This isn't just for Jeremiah. In fact, there's several passages of Scripture that make that real clear, but one of them is Ephesians 2:10. Love this verse. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are all His workmanship, and God has good works for us. He's prepared them in advance. And so you might not be called to be a great prophet to the nations like Jeremiah, but every single one of us has a call. Every single one of us, there's a plan. God didn't have any accidents, and He has a plan for your life. And so you need to have vision about your life, what God wants to do in your life. Where's a real key? It's His plan. Our vision is in vain if it's merely selfish ambition. And that's where so many people, even those who call themselves Christian, get into error, is that they have a vision for their life that they just came up with. They have a plan, and they want God to bless their plan. Get God's plan. Submit your will to the will of God. Listen, the Lord Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." And here's one of the reasons that so many people get discouraged and disillusioned is because God didn't bless their plan. I want to share a couple of passages with you just real quickly. The first one is Psalm 33:10 and 11. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. See, you get in on the plan of God. He's a big God. Amen. He brings His plans to pass. But when it's just our little plan, it's not going to turn out the way that we want. Proverbs 19 and 21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. See, sometimes things don't turn out exactly the way that we think they should. We need to remember that our God is a big God, and He is well able to bring His plan to pass, and that plan is always good. Sometimes it's hard. And sometimes there's some trouble and heartache along the way, but it always turns out good in the end. Amen. He works it together for our good. Jeremiah 29:11, the NIV, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I'll tell you, we need to have a big vision in this because of this big God that He has plans for us. Don't limit the Lord. Don't limit the Lord by your limitations. Jesus said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Don't limit this big God. He's bigger than your weakness. So have a big vision for your life, bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. Because God wants to be involved. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. It doesn't please God when we just have a plan and how we're going to do it on our own. No. We need to have a vision that's big enough that we need God's help. That we're relying on Him. That kind of vision. Big vision. You might think of yourself as a nobody, but He's been making somebodies out of nobodies for thousands of years. Psalm 78:41 and 42, it says, "Yes, again and again they tempted God, how they tempt God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. And I think that today that is true way too much of the time, that the people of God limit God's power. They forget all of the mighty miracles that he's already done. It's amazing how sometimes we can just have a short memory, just like the children of Israel. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw it come crashing in on the Egyptian army. And yet it was just a short time later that they were complaining about how God brought them out in the wilderness to die. And I'm telling you, we need to remember that our God is mighty and powerful. He's a big God, and we should never limit him. There's not anything that he can't do. Some people do what they can do without God, which is nothing. Nothing that matters. I know that because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you're going to have a big vision, you're counting on a big God. And we need to have a big faith. Four times in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. So when we have a big God and a big vision, we need to have big faith. Our faith, or the lack of it, will determine whether or not we see God do great things in our life. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, what I call the hall of faith, those heroes of faith, every one of them, God moved mightily in their life because they believed. It was because of faith. And we need to have a big faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be to you. Now, if preachers say that nowadays, or if believers say that nowadays, we get in trouble. Because we're putting the responsibility back on ourselves or back on other people when we say, according to your faith, be it unto you. So let me just say, not my words, Jesus' words. According to your faith, be it to you. What if it really is according to our faith? You see, in whatever in life that we're endeavoring to do, we need to be believing God. We need to have a big faith that we're trusting this big God who can do absolutely anything. You know, one of those that Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, was he said it to Peter when Peter was walking on the water and he started to sink. Now, Peter just had little faith and he got to walk on water with little faith. So little faith ain't all bad. It's just better to have big faith. And we need to have that big faith. I tell you, get your eyes on the Lord. Get your eyes on his word and you can have a big faith. But the amazing thing, though, is that those that he rebuked for their lack of faith, and, you know, so often that was his disciples, right? And those that he rebuked for their lack of faith, later, they were the very ones that healed the sick and cast out devils and even raised the dead. So if you've been one of those people and you hadn't had much faith or you've had little faith, that doesn't mean that you can't have big faith. It happened for them. It certainly happened for Peter. There's hope for me. But to see God do big things in our lives, I'm telling you, it takes a big faith. We take God at his word, even when it looks impossible. Our faith is not in ourselves, our abilities, our talents, our wisdom. It's amazing how much this humanistic attitude has crept into the church. It's not about us. It's about him. And I even hear this being spouted a lot in the world, but sometimes even in Christian circles, well, you got to believe in yourself. That is pure garbage. That is nothing but secular humanism. Nobody has let me down more than me. But my God has never let me down. I can believe in Him. He loves us. He's for us. He has good plans for us. Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. These three Hebrews, they said, and he will deliver us. Takes a faith that's all in. I want to read those verses again from Daniel 3:17-18. They said, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They said, but if not, this was the depth of their commitment. This was how big their commitment was. Our God is able. And he will deliver us, they said. Amen. But if not, we need to have a big commitment. Amen. I don't know how anybody can call themselves a follower of Jesus and not be totally and completely committed. Amen. Jesus makes it so clear that you got to count the cost. So that you don't get halfway and then quit. You count the cost. You have to make that big commitment that you're going all the way no matter what. And it's always been that way. There's never been a time when it was good enough to love him with half your heart or serve him with half your heart. No, the Bible says in Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Joshua 22:5, hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, we're always supposed to do this with all our heart. Amen. It's a big commitment. Peter said, Lord, we've left all. And they did. They left all. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:8, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. That was a big commitment. These guys were willing to lose all. Too many today want to dabble in serving God, and they never see what our big God can do in their life. Too many want to serve God as long as it seems convenient, as long as it's easy, as long as it fits in their plans, as long as it fits in their schedule. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, we just got so much going on. We just don't really have time for God. Just a little God, you know. We can handle a little Jesus, just a little religion. I mean, let's just keep it comfortable. I'm telling you, we serve a big God, and he deserves big faith and a big commitment. Amen. That we're willing to do whatever he asks of us. Oh, my. Jesus, he makes it so clear. Over and over and over again, if we're going to be a disciple, if we're going to be a follower, we got to be willing to make that total commitment. Count the cost. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You see, when we make a total commitment, we give our best. Always. Can't expect God to bless a half-hearted effort. We give him our very best, whether it's at home or at church or school or the workplace. We should always give God our very best. And when we know we have a big God, when we have big vision, we have big faith, when we have a big commitment, we have a big impact. One believer who's truly committed and all in has a greater impact than hundreds of lukewarm people. Amen. Absolutely. Let me just clarify. For the kingdom, for the Lord, I mean, 100 lukewarm people might have some impact, but it ain't the right kind of impact. I'm just saying, one person who's truly committed has a bigger impact. And here's what we need to know, though. Your impact is not going to be determined by your talent and your ability and how smart you are and how much money you have. When you read the Bible, you see some of these people that God used, and I'm telling you, it wasn't any of that. It was God. He chose the weak things and the foolish things. He chose the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. And we just need to realize that we can have a big impact for God to really make a difference. When God gives us vision, it's never for selfish purposes. It's always to have an impact on others. And I just need to back up to that for a minute because it's so important. You see, when we're talking about having a big impact, it's the result of that vision. And, you know, even when God gave Abraham vision of how he was going to have descendants like the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky, but he says to him, I'm going to bless you, and you will be a blessing. He said the whole earth was going to be blessed through him. And I'm telling you that, you see, as we serve the Lord and we have a big vision, a big faith, and a big commitment, we need to realize that it's not just about us or for us. The plan of God will always involve other people. It'll always be about other people. It's never just about us. But if we're going to have a big impact, you got to know that. It's about other people. Is it arrogant to think that we can make a difference in our world? No. It's humbling. It's humbling to think that such a big God lives in us by His Spirit. 1 John 4:4, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You can have a big impact because we serve a big God. Amen. Some of you moms, you might be raising the world's greatest evangelist. You yourself, somebody here in this room, you might reach thousands, or you might just reach one family. But what a difference that makes in eternity. You see, we just need to realize the impact that we can have. And some of us, even right now, God is using you to make a difference in somebody else's life. And it's shaping, it's molding, it's having an impact on this world and the one to come. I want to read the rest of the story here from Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to pick it up in verse 25. And this is after they've been thrown into the fiery furnace. In verse 25, he says, look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps and the administrators and governors, the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Now, we're talking about a big God, and it's a big vision, a big faith, and big commitment. and they're having a big impact. Therefore, I make a decree that any people or nation or language which speaks against or speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. These three young men impacted an ungodly nation. Now, they had to go through some fire, but they had a big impact. And I'm telling you, God is big enough to bring us through unharmed and to keep us. Listen, it went from, we're going to get you, to nobody can speak against their God. We got to quit looking at things just in the natural and start seeing that we serve a big God who can do anything, and believe him and trust him, and we'll see. Our lives having an impact. Could it be that God will raise up some like these in our generation? He's still the same big God. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray.